All right, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin before we get out of here today. That's a Tuesday staple, Tuesdays with Tomlin. There's that. There's some interesting news. It's interesting. It's depressing. It's crazy. It's all of that rolled into one. Give a listen.
Monday, Cardinal Timothy Dolan announced the Archdiocese of New York is making a series of difficult financial decisions to raise enough money to cover settlements for roughly 1,300 outstanding claims by victims of sex abuse. Actions include laying off staff, reducing the operating budget by 10%, and finalizing the sale of real estate assets, which include the Archdiocesan headquarters on First Avenue, to raise the necessary funds of around $300 million.
Did you hear that? $300 million? The numbers in all of this are staggering. So often now in modern times, we do the opposite of fixate whenever things are quantified, because we hear so many numbers and we have so much information and so much data that's thrown at us that whenever something truly has enormity, it doesn't have that effect anymore because we are just hit with so much information. But the Archdiocese of New York City is going to raise $300 million to cover as many as 1,300 sexual abuse claims. Think about that for a moment. And then think about how many people probably didn't come forward. It's interesting to me. It just is. And it's frightening. It's a frightening number. Frightening number on both accounts. And I don't feel bad for them at all. If it was 500 million, if it was 10, if it was, you know, 700 million, so be it. That's what they got to pay. But it seems like the ripples from this will resonate and will continue to resonate. Now, I hear from people all the time that the Catholic Church is making a comeback. For this very reason, and to hear that story, is the reason that I'll never go back. Now, I don't begrudge people who never left, or people that do go back. But people who have continued to go, I'd love to hear from you at 866-391-1020. Whenever your religion, or whenever a diocese, or whenever Catholic religion in this country is going to pay $300 million in one diocese, how do then you reconcile in your brain that it continues to inch toward doing the right thing? Is it a payment that makes it work? Is it ridding the rectory of all the people who did the bad stuff? Is it turning a new leaf? Like, how does that work? Because this is exactly why. Are they trying to do the right thing now? Sure, I guess. But this is certainly something that is up for debate. And I keep hearing about how it's on the comeback. This is certainly an admission of guilt. There's no two ways about that. And there have to be tentacles to the past of people who were involved in those things. Now, I look at this and I say, yeah, people should get paid. Certainly people should get money out of this. But it gives me a sense of pause. It does. To where I say, how do you excuse this one away? You're essentially admitting to guilt, and it's in front of a mediator, and that was what the recommendation was, $300 million for covering up as many as 1,300 sexual abuse claims. So when I make the claim that I'm a Reformed Catholic, and I can subscribe to the tenets, the ideals, some of the things, but I can do it sitting in my living room or at my kitchen table and have a relationship with a higher power without going into a brick-and-mortar building and without necessarily professing it with other people, I'm at times told I'm a sinner, or that's not the way that it's all drawn up, or that's not the way that it should be. But then I hear an acknowledgement that it did happen, all of these things, and I say, okay, well, I'm not willing to resubscribe or re-up my membership card to a place that just thinks, well, we're going to go ahead and give money to all these people who we did these awful things to, and then maybe hit a big reset button and go from there. I don't begrudge anybody who does. Don't take it as such. Your religion's your religion. My religion's my religion. And I don't, unless you're harming others, and I don't, you know, hang out with people who actively are or have, but unless you're harming others, those two things are fine to coexist. But in all of this, this is exactly why when people try to give me the hard sell on, well, there's a lot of people coming back to the Catholic Church, or numbers are growing. Well, this is why the book shut forever on me, for me. It just is. And there's no way it's ever going back. Because of that $300 million and of those 1,300 abuse claims, the number has to be greater than one of people who were unwilling to come forward, of people who may have committed suicide, of people who just don't want to speak up, people who are too ashamed. And so it's probably greater than that. It's just a very odd thing. It just is. And so it does force this air of people who, one, never left the Catholic Church, or two, are going back to the Catholic Church, to still kind of look down their nose at people like me. And I'm puzzled by that. And I just thought I'd use this platform to tell them, well, I'm just not comfortable, when I'm okay, to move on from it. And I don't think they'll ever regain, at least for me, the ability to say we can kind of judge other people or look at them like they're sinners. And this is the proof right here. 866-391-1020. Here we are, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin before we're out of here today. Now, I don't want to give some like big, long dissertation on the Catholic Church, but I hear these, and I don't begrudge anybody who goes and wants to go to Mass, wants to give, wants to do all of that. It's just, I think that there are some people like me who say, all right, like I cashed in my chips, I'm done, I'm finished, it is what it is. And the enormity of this scandal is staggering. When I heard those numbers today, it was staggering. Tim's in Gibsonia. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Colin. Hey, it is astonishing. Again, you know, it's really a shame that this happens, but unfortunately it does happen. Not trying to answer your question, but just my thoughts are really simple. You say, how can people keep on going to church, especially Catholic Church? Colin, it deals with the sacraments. You know, it's the relationship with your God. And the one thing you can't get at your kitchen table are the sacraments. To some people, that's really important. That doesn't cover up for the incredible sin, the incredible disgustingness of what has happened. But it's the sacraments.
Well, I would argue with you there, at least for one of the sacraments. I think that you don't have to have, and this is just my thought, I don't want to get into some philosophic debate, but yeah. I think this is a good, healthy discussion. I think that you can have reconciliation, penance, it's synonymous, right? I think you can have that without a go-between.
A lot of people feel that way, and I'm not one to disagree with you. But the sacraments are much more than that. You know, they're baptism, they're Eucharist. But not judging that. That's what keeps me where I'm going, even though I've seen this and heard of it. But again, the other piece is this. No Catholic, no denomination, no Christian, it doesn't matter what faith, has the right to judge you for your feelings. And that's the bad part about the bad rap a lot of Catholics, but other Christians have gotten, because they do look down on you. And that's not fair, because it's your relationship with your God.
The other part, too, is, Tim, is this. Not only do I feel like sometimes they'll look down on you, they will look down on you by rank monetarily, and that's always been crazy to me. You have a hierarchy within parishes, and you have a hierarchy essentially within the church. Like, case in point, if you spend enough money, you essentially can meet the Pope.
I guess you are correct. You know, it's not fair. You are correct. But again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. It's your relationship with your God. And, you know, when it comes to monetarily, yeah, I see that. But, you know, again, not getting philosophical, not getting scriptural, but, you know, when we think of Jesus, the little lady that gave one coin had a greater reward. We can't lose sight of that. That goes back to the Bible.
No, it's great stuff and good discussion. And I'm never going to here's the thing, and this is where I would never stand outside of St. Richard's or stand outside of St. Catherine's of Sweden or whatever they call it now, because they're all merged and they got 5,000 names. I'd never stand outside of one of these churches and say, don't go in there. Like, that ain't me. I'd never do that. Rita's in Derry. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Colin. I just want to mention, in every group, there will be people like that. And that doesn't mean the whole church should suffer because of the few that have done this.
Well, here's where I would disagree. I think, one, I'd agree to some point, but I feel like the masquerade of enabling and covering up was different than many groups.
Well, let me ask you. Up at Penn State, a coach...
Yeah, I'm not talking
children.
About football. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. How about we stay
All right.
on task?
Well, why not shut down Penn State if you want the Catholic Church shut down?
How do you know I didn't say that?
No, but why would you go to Penn State?
I didn't go to Penn State.
No, not
But I
you.
Did
I'm
go to the Catholic Church. So, again, let's stay on task.
Well, here's the thing. I can take coaches. How about... You say don't make a comparison. Every group you look at, whether it's coaches, teachers, every group have people like this that do this, abuse children. But you can't shut down the whole organization because of... And
no, I'm not saying to shut it down. It's
well,
staying.
How would it continue if people do not attend?
People are free to make whatever decision they want to make. And if it shuts
yeah.
its doors, so be it. You know, I wouldn't give them a dime, nor my presence.
Well, you don't have... Here's another point. You don't have to give a dime to go to Mass. There's no charge at going to Mass. Coaches may abuse a football player.
Hey, lady, we're not talking about football.
No, but what I'm saying is you still pay your ticket to go to the ball game. You don't have to pay to go to Mass. There's no price. It's free. You just go in there, praise God, and here's what hurts me. All of the good men and women, the nuns that served, the priests that live life, godly lives, mm-hmm. they suffer because of the ones who went off the rail.
You may be right, but you know what? More of them should have spoke up when it was happening.
I agree. This should not be covered up. But, and I agree completely with that. I don't think... The whole church, since the Catholic Church is so big, yes, it gets all the attention, but I'm sure if you go into other denominations...
No, we're not talking about other places. Like, this is the whataboutism. This is another reason I'll never walk in there. The whataboutism is staggering. It should be, we screwed up big, here's your money, we're unbelievably sorry, period, next sentence, that's it. And the fact that there are all these other what-ifs, what-abouts with the Catholic Church is one of the most off-putting things you'll ever deal with. Just in case, we get a ton of snow. I'm going to push back some of the stories I was working on. They're evergreen, they're timely, and we've got a big Wednesday in front of us tomorrow, so there's that. But 866-391-1020, you know... I heard this story today, and then it's up against people saying that the Catholic Church is healthy, it's growing, more people are gravitating toward it, But then you measure that against this.
Cardinal Timothy Dolan announced the Archdiocese and the accusers have agreed on a mediator, retired California Judge Daniel Buckley, who helped negotiate a settlement between the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and more than 1,000 of its accusers. Cardinal Dolan says his Archdiocese hopes to raise at least $300 million for the settlement by cutting its budget by 10% and selling a lot of its real estate assets, including its Manhattan headquarters. A lawyer for 300 of the accusers says it's a step in the right direction. Michael Wallace, CBS News, New York.
Those are extraordinarily big numbers. 300 million, 1,300 accusers, and selling off Manhattan real estate. That's, honestly, I heard that today and I said, you know, lost in numerics and data and numbers and media and social media and all of this wave of information that we get, we hardly ever stop and go, wow, you know, and let it process, because we get so much of it every day. But when you let a story like that process, it's gigantic. And it's not, it can't potentially be fewer than that, but it can definitely be more than that from people who were afraid to come forward. And again, I don't look at anybody like, you're doing the wrong thing. It's just my decision. That whole situation is why I won't go back to the Catholic Church. I find that to be a sin that is unable to be reconciled in my head. Donna's in Munhall. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Colin. Have you ever heard the term cafeteria Catholic?
No. Fill me in.
Well, that's when people pick and choose what they want to believe out of the Catholic religion. You know, you pick this, you pick that. Maybe, you know, you live with somebody, so you think, okay, I don't have to get married, but you really do. But anyway, but I'm just saying following the Catholic religion is very difficult. It is, you have to really know it, and you have, I mean, there's so many things that you can't not do. It's really tough. But for people who believe, there's nothing better to me. There's nothing, I mean, I went 12 years of Catholic high school, grade school and high school, and I just found my, I am 70 years old, and I just found my Catholic religion. You know, I was forced to go to church. I didn't like church. I didn't want to not eat meat on Friday. I didn't want to do all the stuff that you, but I'm 70 years old and now I get it. And I'm telling you, it just means the world to me.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And I would never stop anybody from that. I do have one modern day thing that is screamingly at odds with me with the Catholic Church. Can I explain?
Sure.
How do you feel about same-sex marriage?
I don't think you should do it.
Then how come when a gay couple walks into the Catholic Church, you take their money in the wicker basket?
I don't take anybody's money.
Well, your parish, I mean, does.
Well, they don't have to put any money in the wicker basket. You don't, like that lady said, you don't have to put a dime in that basket.
The problem I have though, is the all or nothing situation isn't played all the way out. Wait a minute.
Okay.
And no matter how you feel about same-sex marriage, and now the Catholic Church is now recognizing unions, but they're not blessing the marriage, correct? Something like that?
Correct.
Right. So you're not able to enjoy the sacrament, but if we need a new bingo hall, we'll take the money off you.
If you want to give it. They don't force you to pay a dime for anything. You send your kids to Catholic school, you have to pay for that, absolutely. But you don't have to pay to go to church. You don't pay.
I get it. But if I wasn't accepted fully, they should shut the door and not let... I would think more of it if they said, you're not allowed in here.
Well, they'd never do that.
No, because there's money to give.
Well, if you don't want to give any money, you don't have to. That's what I don't think you understand. You do not have to pay to be a
Catholic. No, but there's certainly a ranking system based on monetary donations.
I don't know about that, but maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
How do you get to a mass at the Vatican?
I have no idea.
Generally a donation structure.
Okay, well, you know more about it than I do. I don't know that. I don't know anything about that.
I just think that there are a lot of, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be Catholic. Believe me, Donna. Believe in what you want to believe.
Right.
But I just think that there is a lot of hypocrisy abounds with the Catholic Church.
And that could very well be. Yeah, that's your opinion. That's your opinion.
Oh, well, no, honestly, I think that a lot of problems, so to speak, or things that arise right now in 2025 could be rectified if you allowed your clergy to be married.
Well, that's a rule. They can't be married. They cannot be married. And I don't know why that would make a difference. I don't understand that, but I can get your opinion that if you think it would help. It would probably have much more priests. But that's why I'm saying it's really hard to follow it the way you're supposed to.
I know. And that's another thing. The percentage of people who truly follow Catholicism to a T, even looking around those pews, Donna, has to be in the single-digit percentage.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. It's so difficult. It is so difficult.
So, know what? There should be a line outside that confessional, 700 people long every Tuesday night or whatever.
Yeah, well, there hardly nobody goes to confession anymore. There's hardly nobody there.
Let me ask you this. When you go to do you like that? Do you like that, the one that is private, or do you like that face-to-face one?
I like the private one.
So they don't know it's Donna and Munhall.
They probably know my voice, but I really don't want to. I don't want to sit and look at the priest when I'm confessing my sins. No, I don't.
Denny, you know what's I always or was at odds with when they throw in a couple glory bees. Like you could say those really fast, but they throw them in just to keep you around longer.
Could be. I don't know.
Well, have a great night. It was wonderful talking to you. Oh, see, you can disagree and not hate each other. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with Donna. She seems wonderful. And I respect the hell out of her that she is really down with her religion. She really is somebody who is sort of married to it. Good for her. It's what she believes in. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin said something like he's been on the hot seat since he got hired. You want to talk about the craziest thing said in Pittsburgh all year? It might be that. Honestly, we'll hear from him as we do every Tuesday. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Little Mike Tomlin.
A lot of what you talked about, Miami's secondary, certainly manifested on the stat sheet last week. They're going up against a 24-year-old quarterback. Obviously, difference from you guys and the veteran leadership that you have there. But like their aggressiveness, their break on the ball, that sort of thing, is that some of that painting a picture of them throughout the whole season, or is that specific more to going up against New York last week?
I think that's reflective of who they are after they found their footing. Certainly, they've absorbed some attrition, particularly at the cornerback position. Juju Brents and others have been injured, but I think they've settled into that veteran tandem, as I've mentioned, solidifying Mika as a nickel and utilizing their safety depth and getting stability there. What they've done over the last 5 weeks is kind of reflective of where they are. But I'll let them speak to that. I'm just, viewing it from an outsider's perspective.
Mike, I'm sure you liked the three-step catch rule on Sunday, but in general, as a member of the committee, the competition committee, do you like that?
It's always been debatable. It seems like I've just learned to kind of move on, to be quite honest with you. I moved on from Jesse James, for example. I don't even know what year that was. There are going to be controversial calls in big games. I think I always focus my energy on making enough plays to minimize that in terms of determining the outcome of the game. That's why you won't hear me calling New York post-game for explanations and things of that nature. You guys asked me that maybe earlier in the year regarding something. It's not going to change the outcome. I just work to keep moving, and I just like to put together a comprehensive enough plan and make enough plays where the game's outcome doesn't hinge on one play or a couple of plays.
Do you have a pretty good feel for what a catch is and what a catch isn't?
I do.
Do you worry when you see the results on Sunday, though? I mean, when you have to make – the scoring play is one thing, but
is it difficult to, how do you process information? Who do you rely on to say, hey, we should challenge this or not?
I just think that football is so bang bang and exciting. I think that's why our fans love it. It's a difficult game to play because of the speed. It's a difficult game to officiate. I think as a collective, we have some things in place that kind of, you know, protect us all in an effort to get things right. Ruling that catch a touchdown makes it automatically reviewable where I don't have to decide to challenge, et cetera. And so there's a lot of things in place, interrelated variables relative to that discussion.
Going through four left tackles in three games, what kind of stress does that place on an offense? And how, does having Isaac there, a veteran like that, next to that position help mitigate that?
You know, I don't know that Isaac is blocking any of those edge guys, but certainly from a communication and coordination perspective, his presence is helpful. It's been a challenge, but that's why we work hard at making sure that we prepare the collective. It's next man up for us, and not only at that position, but others, you get a chance to prove that over the course of the journey. And certainly we've been challenged in that space in recent weeks. Can't say enough about those guys. I think we largely kept Aaron clean in game, and it's a credit to those guys.
Cam is about 70% snaps as an interior defensive lineman. At 36 years old, those things don't happen in the league, maybe ever. How do you explain that he's able to do that at this age?
He's an outlier. There are some outliers in every discussion. And guys like he and Calais Campbell, for example, are outliers.
Mike, you have a 42-year-old quarterback. Can a 44-year-old who hasn't played in 5 years come back and play? Phillip Rivers?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Colts are supposed to work him up.
That's none of my business, man.
Good answer. Concentrate on what you're doing. Tell you what I'm doing. Coming back tomorrow. See you too.